18th, 1979, talking to Simeon Mountain at his home in Nilato.
We named our first little boy Cosmos after my dad. And he died after he was 2 years old. He got sick with us and we sent him to the hospital and he died. I remember another story my grandpa, Charlie Mountain, used to about my dad and uncle, Daniel Sibley. They were young, you know. They just got married, I guess. Maybe they were married 2-3 years. And they used to really like each other's brother-in-laws, you know. He never saw any brother-in-law like that, that, you know, really thought a lot of each other. And one time he said they moved to camp. There was nothing at the camp. They pitched up the tent and they just started to work. They bet each other that to see who was going to last the longest without sleep. So they just started to work. They put up fish racks, started to make wheel. They finished the wheel, worked smokehouse, get poles for the fish racks, and then by that time they had set the wheel and everything. It was time to cut fish. They had worked 3 days and three nights around the clock without sleeping. So the third day around noon they start cutting fish, and my grandpa and grandma were telling me that they go to bed at night, you know, my grandma and grandpa. And next morning when they get up, they still see them working. My dad and Uncle Dan. So the third day, grandpa said, he, that's like you don't see my uncle around. So he looked under the fish rack and here he saw him pass out right in the rocks and the fish, the slime from the fish was just dripping down in his face. They worked 3 days and three nights without sleeping, did all that work. I remember my grandpa telling me that.
Well, what do you remember of your grandpa? Charlie Mountain was
Yes, there? Yes. In what way?
Oh, just anything that, you know, either stories about him or what kind of person he was and what you remember seeing of him.
Oh, I remember one story about him. In those days, I guess they used to wear suits, you know, suit clothes. Now they don't. But I remember someone telling us that they saw this kind of white guy working on a steamboat, and he had suit of clothes, white shirt, red tie. They walked up to him, and they got happy. This was other Indian people. They were trying to talk to the captain. I forgot. They were selling wood, but they don't understand the price or anything. They were having a hard time with the captain, trying to make some kind of a deal. So they got happy when they saw my grandpa dressed up like a white man. They went up to him and they told him, in their language, they told him, "We're glad to see you. You can talk for us." My grandpa looked at them and said that, "See, I don't even know how to say, give me water in English, you know." If that story was told in Indian, it sounds more funnier, you know. I remember that part about him.
Anything you want to say in Indian too, like that. Mm-hmm. We can have that in the book too, because Elijah Jones will translate and write
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime that sounds better or easier, or if you want to talk both ways or just that way,
mm-hmm.
it's that'll be fine, because she's been doing that for us, writing it up, because some things you just can't say
yes.
in English as
mm-hmm.
well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. I remember my grandma and grandpa very good. Hard for me to think of in what ways, you know.
Well, I think about in ways that might show how different they might have lived than kids do today, or things that you would like your children to know about your
mm-hmm.
grandparents. You know, what
mm-hmm.
kind of things you think are important that might be different for them or that they don't know today.
Mm-hmm.
Could be how they do things that are different than today. It could be, you know, how they live, what kind of houses they lived in, or what kind of things they did for.
I guess it was before my grandpa and grandma's time. They used to live underground, you know. Maybe you hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call them Nahuluyah or something like that. I have a hard time to pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
But all it means is it's underground houses. It's, you just stick into the ground and have a little hole up in the ceiling where the smoke will go through and you may have fire. But I guess in grandpa's days they start living in houses made out of log cabins. I remember my grandpa used to say, you know, when they were out camp and they were growing up, their parents used to let them run or pick wood and stuff like that without shoes, you know. So they'll get tough, I guess.
Was that just in summertime?
I think they used to do that even in the winter. I used to hear my grandpa talking about it. And in those days they used to make their living mostly by trapping, you know, trapping and fishing and hunting. And there wasn't moose. I think it just, the moose started to come around here only. I would guess when grandpa was a teenager, or maybe a little older, otherwise they used to live only on caribou, rabbits, chickens, ducks and so forth. There used to be a lot of caribou around here in his younger days, but they all moved away. I don't know why. Then the moose came. They used to do a lot of hunting with bow and arrow. I used to hear people talking about grandpa, saying that he used to shoot ducks down in the air with arrow, bow and arrow. And I even have a hard time with a shotgun. Miss a lot.
What would he make those bow and arrows out of? You know?
He would make them out of birch. A loose sinew, you know, for the string.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to use sharp objects for the point of the arrow. He used to kill big game.
Does anybody shoot with bow and arrow now?
Mm-mm. No. Just a few years ago, I saw one of the young boys had a bow and arrow for big game, but I never hear that he caught a moose or a bear with it. I was looking at catalog the other day, you know, and I was thinking to myself that it would be a good way to hunt, you know, if you learned how, because you wouldn't make no noise shooting, you know. Just be firing away in silent, and the moose or bear, if they don't see you, you know, wouldn't hear no noise, so you can get quite a few shots at it. I was thinking, looking in the catalog the other day, saw one that cost 100, another one that cost about 250 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't they have some kind of archery contest for a Nietzsche warrior?
I believe they do, but we're not very much involved in it. People don't go up to Tamna very, very much. I think when they first started again, after there was a long period in between that, you know, they didn't do that. A few plane loads went up from here. I never went to see Nuchulu Wayo yet.
Well, you're talking about your grandfather and the time before him. Did he ever tell you stories about long ago, like with his parents or before that, when people used to have wars around here?
Yes, he used to tell me stories, but it's been so long time ago, I forgot them. He used to tell us Choloich. Choloich in our language means a story, long time ago story. Most of them were true. I used to sit down and listen to him. To remember those things, you have to think about it once in a while. That's been 35 years ago, maybe, somewhere around there, and I never think of it. So.
Well, any of these things, what happens a lot of times when you talk to people,
mm-hmm.
the more they start talking, they start remembering things, mm-hmm. you know? And so, mm-hmm. like if we talk again tomorrow, if you remember anything, you can just bring it up. It doesn't
yes.
just have to be my question.
Yes.
Because that happens a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe Josephine would remember mm-hmm. some stories.
And if any time you both want to talk, you know, at the same mm-hmm. time, you mm-hmm. can do that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, maybe we'll jump back again to when you were a kid.
Okay.
When you were young. What kind of things did you do for fun?
We used to play hockey.
Mm. How did you play that?
We used to use a willow and bend it at the bottom like a cane and use a little ball, maybe that's about 3-4 inches in diameter, and two willows, and we used to play most time out here on the road, two willows on one side of the road, and then 100 feet or so further down we have another two willows. It used to be our goal, and we used to divide evenly, 6 on one side, 6 on the other side, or 10 on one side and 10 on the other side. And we used to just try to get the ball through the goal, have a goal minder on each end, watching the goal. I used to be gold miner all the time. And I used to be pretty quick and pretty good using that little willow that's a couple inches maybe in diameter and 4 or 5 feet long. I used to stop the ball even in the air, hitting it, coming down. Anyway, we were all pretty good, but I guess I was a little better. That's the reason why they had me for gold miner. And football, to play football.
Was regular. That with the same kind of football they have now?
Yes, I think they call it soccer now.
Oh.
It's the same thing. All we do is kick the ball. Same way you split the people that are going to play. And as more people come, one go on one side, another one go on another side. So it'll be about even.
Mm.
Even.
Well, when would you play? Would that be after school or yes. Summer? Or?
We used to play during the fall or the winter. Then in spring we used to play baseball. We never had good baseball field. The one we had down there where the high school is now, one side of the field was always downhill. It wasn't level. We never had a good baseball field. You'll notice we're starting one down there behind the school. Been working on that for 5-6 years maybe, and it's still not big enough. We used to play in front of Summers down there on the bank. We used to play down the bank. Any free time we had during the summer months, we used to play baseball. And to have dances once in a while. Violin and guitar. I remember when the first people started twisting. I didn't like it. I didn't see the enjoyment they can have standing apart and dancing. And I was against it to myself. I used to enjoy holding a girl, you know, dancing. But then after I started to twist, I started enjoying it. I couldn't go back the other way. Now I'm against the old time way. Yeah.
So what kind of dancing do you do now?
Twisting. I like the twist. Yeah.
Well, are there many dances now?
Not as many, not as much as we used to have. And most of the time in our days we used to have sober dances. Now dance, started drinking.
You think that makes the dances different?
Sometimes. A lot of times it makes it a little more livelier. But when people start getting, you know, too much, start being fights and stuff, and dance breakup.
Well, do you think that you had more time or less time than kids today to have fun?
Not speaking for myself, speaking for other children. There was more time in our days. Because now there's television for one thing, and kids just sit and watch it, you know, if there's good programs during the day, so they don't go out and play very much. We never played hockey or football for the last 20 years, maybe.
Do most people in the Lotto have TVs?
Yes. Some have two. color thing.
I noticed there's a lot of color TVs in town.
Yeah. We have two, one downstairs and one upstairs. But I try to tell the children to watch only one at a time, you know, because our electric bill go up to 300 a month. Lot of money.
Yeah. Well, do you think that young people had to do more work when you were young than now? Or is it about the same? Or is it just
because of families? I think there used to be more work in our days. But one thing, feeding dogs, cutting wood, packing wood, even have to haul wood, haul water. Now it's much easier. A lot of people have trucks, snow goes. So most of the time the older people get through doing all these things while the children are in school. So the children have more free time than a long time ago.
How did you used to pack water summer and winter time?
With a lot of times in the winter time we have to haul a sled with our neck, you know.
You would haul a sled?
Mm-hmm. With the water cans inside. Mm-hmm. We used to get it from out in the river. But then from 15 years ago, maybe we quit using the river water. We start going down to the Nalada River. And of course, whenever we used to walk down there, we used dogs or pay someone with dogs or snow go.
Why did you quit getting water out of the river?
People just warn us that it's not very good to drink because people upriver, you know, they throw things in the river, so it's no good. Even in those days, summertime we never used to drink it. Even when we were at camps, we used to have to row maybe a couple of miles to get fresh water. Or where we used to stay up here, 2 miles, there used to be water running down from the hill. You could see the ground being wet, but the water is not running over the top like a spring, you know. So you have to make a hole in the ground among the rocks. And then the water would seep in there. You would go down there and bail the water out. We never used to drink the river water, only in the winter. And when we're in town, we go down to the Nalada River, which is 1 mile below. Get the fresh water down there. And then, I forgot when we built this safe water. About 5 years ago, maybe. Now a lot of people use that water.
Is that a well?
Yes. And they put chemicals in there, you know, to soften it and to make it safe. And then it's tested. It was first tested before we used it. And even now, it's tested once in a while. They send samples to Juneau, I believe, or Anchorage, one of the places. And they test them. It used to cost 3 cents a gallon when we first started operating safe water. But now we get it free.
Why did that change?
The washers and dryers went up a quarter each. So when they did that, the council decided to give the water free. Mm-hmm. Even it's free, a lot of people don't use it. They couldn't get used to the chemicals that are in there, I guess. So a lot of people still go back to Muckluck Slough on the other side of the bridge or go down to the Nalada River. The water back here has been tested too, and they say it's good water, it's safe. And nobody lives above to throw things in, so it's good water. Well, we use it sometimes.
Does the village own the water supply then, the village?
You mean down at the school?
The
safe water, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's run by the council. Mm-hmm. I think we get grant to operate it. Mm-hmm. We don't bring in enough money in washing and showers to run the building.
Well, where is the washing and showers? Is that back there too?
Yes, it's in the back of the school. Mm-hmm. It costs 50 cents to take a shower. 75 cents to wash, 75 cents to dry, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of villages are starting to get those. That mm-hmm. must make things easier too.
Oh, yes, it makes a lot easier. Of course, it costs a lot of money to wash clothes, but there's no trouble. You don't have to pack the water. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pack it out. After, you know, emptying the washing machine, stuff like that. It costs a lot of money to wash clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's real different than how you used to get water and.
Mm-hmm. And how a long time ago too, we used to cut ice. Everybody used to cut ice right out here in the river. We used to cut 100, 200 blocks per family, you know. That used to last us all winter. And some people used to have it even in the summer. The mission had ice during the summer. And the clinic used to have ice during the summer.
How would they keep it?
They used to have little buildings we call ice houses. It's insulated with sawdust. And there's a lot of sawdust in the building itself. And as you're piling the ice, you throw sawdust over it. And then in summer when it's hot, you go inside, take out one block and chip off all the sawdust. And you get ice water. No one put ice away for the summer now. Of course, everybody has freezers. Some people have refrigerators where you can make ice.
Well, what other kind of work did you have to do in the talked about packing water and cutting wood.
Feeding dogs.
Did you have lots of dogs in your family?
No, we had maybe about 10, and I used to have to feed them every night. And I didn't enjoy it. I said I would never have dogs after I got old enough.
Did you ever have dogs?
No, there was no reason for me to, because I believe when I was 21 I went into the army. 20 or somewhere around there. And I got out 2 years later. Became postmaster. I'll have to tell you a little later when we get to it how I became postmaster. That's a long time ago, and I'd never have dogs. And I had only one or two all these years. I had one for 12, 15 years maybe. And it died last April. I sure didn't want to lose it. It was a good hunting dog. They used to stop moose for me.
There aren't too many hunting dogs, are there?
No, there isn't very many. There's a few in town. That usually how they learned how to hunt was to go out with other dogs. And if they do it once, that's all. It takes once to, next time they know how to go about it. And this dog learned by itself. Joy, we used to call it Joy. It went out with me one time. I just took it out. And it saw a moose, ran in front of it. And it held it. And that was all. I didn't think nothing about it. Then I took it 2 years after that. We went out with a friend of mine. And he'd start following him. Pretty soon, I heard him shoot. I went to him and he had the moose. And he said the dog stopped it. So after that, I believed it. And sometimes I bring it out with me. And it used to stop moose from me.
Yeah, it's pretty good to have a dog like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would he ever go find the moose for you?
Pardon?
Would he ever go find the moose for you? Or did he just...
Well, you get under the fresh tracks. And sometimes you start walking, following in old tracks. Pretty soon you come to fresh tracks and you keep walking. And this dog used to warn you. A lot of dogs do that. I used to hear people saying that, but I didn't believe it. When you're getting close and most of the dog come back, it wait for you and then it run toward the moose and come back immediately. I guess the dog is telling you to go faster or something like that. It used to do that to me. And after a while you hear it barking. And sure enough, it has to move. Just walk to it and shoot it.
Mm. Well, did you run dogs when you were young?
Oh, yes. I had my own team. Used to trap with my uncle. He had 8-9 dogs of his own, and I had 5. My own. Before I went into the army, I went trapping with him a couple of times for beaver. I used to run away from him all the time, even though he had 9 dogs. My 5 were, I don't know, were better, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I was lighter. I don't know. But and my dogs used to be fatter. Of course, I used to feed them. My uncle, he used to get mad at me and he questioned me, why is my dogs more fatter than his? To tell the truth, I never cheated though. I used to feed them in equal portions. But for one reason or another, my dogs were in a little better shape. It used to make me feel guilty. I used to run away from him coming. I used to go up Cairo. The name of the place is Kochtagilette. Somewhere around there we used to go trapping. That's 25-30 miles. Okay, around Cairo. I used to come into town maybe an hour and a half ahead of him, and we used to start again. I used to like to trap, but never trapped very much. And I used to be lucky.
What did you trap?
Most of the time was beaver. And in the spring, when we used to go to Cayu, we used to trap for muskrats. And I used to call them.
And you would call the muskrat?
Mm-hmm.
How would you do that?
You would wet your tongue a little bit, your lips. I don't know if I can do it. You called us like a mouse, I guess. You would say that in the in a lake, and you see muskrat way off. And there wouldn't be any use for you to shoot it because you can't get it. Especially when you don't have a canoe, you're only walking, you're walking around lakes. So you'd call muskrats like that and they'd come towards you. And when they're within reach where you can reach it with a willow or something like that, you shoot it. Remember my, I don't know why my uncle told me not to tell that I used to call muskrats for him, you know.
You don't know why he said that?
No. But one time he told me, don't tell nobody that you call muskrats for me. So I never told anyone.
They might want to take you running with them, huh?
Maybe. Yeah. And
about how much muskrats would you get when you go out together?
Well, we never used to get. Oh, all spring maybe 200-300.
But how many weeks would that be?
About 3 weeks. We used to go up in the spring, you know, on the crust. Most of the time we used to walk, my sister, adopted sister Janet and I, we used to walk, we used to start 3-4 o'clock in the morning, 2-3 hours ahead of my uncle and aunt. We used to enjoy it, running across the river and running and walking all the way on the Cayuse Trail. They used to catch us up around dinner camp, that's about halfway between here in Cayuse. After they caught us up, there was no place for us to ride on the sled, so we had to run and walk, trying to keep up with them. We used to walk all the way to Cayuse.
How many miles would that be?
It's just estimating maybe 20. 15-20 miles.
I guess you just didn't think anything of that.
No, didn't think nothing. Yeah, we used to stay up there for 3 weeks. And most of the time we used to come out the last week of May. We used to come out by boats all the way by Cayuse Loo. Just to be quite a sight, you know, 5-6 families coming out in 5-7 boats maybe, and only one inboard pushing it all.
Would you be one of the boats with them too?
We have to tie up to them. So we had only a rowboat. And people used to pay in those days about $10-15 for you know, towing you out.
Would you all make camp together?
It used to be a lot of fun. Most of the time we travel night and day. Maybe it would take 2 days and a night. The men used to relieve each other's steering, you know. One person has to steer the boat and maybe another person would be way out in the other boat where you couldn't make the bend. He'd have to help with a paddle because coming out from Cayuse, some of the bends are really quick bends and you have to paddle it. And we stop maybe once or twice during the trip to make tea, everybody eat. But a lot of times you just keep going and people eat in the boat. You know.
And everybody's just tied up together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there would be other groups, maybe 3, 4, 5 groups of boats. And we all, a lot of times we used to wait a 2 mile down here till all the boats caught up with each other, you know. Then we all more or less come right behind each other, coming up. And when we, as soon as we leave 2 mile, we start shooting. And all the people in town that are in town, they answer us. Oh, it's be a lot of fun.
Just to let them know you're coming home.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Used to shoot shotgun and rifles. Used to sound good.
No.
I remember.
Like
pardon?
Sounds like a parade.
Yes. I remember one of the sisters, I guess it was her first year here, it was during the Second World War. She didn't know that this was going on. Every spring when the people come out from Kyiv, early one morning around 4 or 5 o'clock, I guess you start hearing a lot of shooting. So you got scared, she ran to the next room to wake up the other sisters, telling them the Japs are coming. Here it was Kyiv people coming out.
Well, where well, at that time it would be light almost all night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where would you make camp if you start to make camp when everybody's together? Is it 2 miles?
No, we just stop on the way to make lunch. We just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we would stop for an hour or a couple hours. A lot of times we used to have to make camp at the mouth of Kyiv Slough when the river was rough. But when you're coming out of Kyiv Slough and it's not too rough, you don't, even if you're hungry, you don't want to stop there. You want to keep on going. You want to get to this side of the river before the wind comes up. We never used to, you know, make camp. You want to get home as soon as you could while it's calm. Mm.
Well, what would happen once everybody got home?
Pack up all your spring outfit, clean up your houses, and dance, and then get ready for fishing.
Would people all get together and celebrate and visit after being at this
place? Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things would go on then?
Oh, mostly dancing, drinking.
People used to gamble with their muskrat skin.
Not very much in my days that I know of. In older days, I think they used to gamble a lot with muskrats, traps, bullets, matches. We don't do that very often now.
Well, what did I guess all the time we were growing up, there were the sisters and my father and brothers here.
Mm-hmm.
Would they ever take part in things? Would they ever? Or did they just stay away when people were having dances and enjoying one another?
No, they never used to go to dance. But they used to go to potlatch all the time. And,
I'm going to switch this out. Turn this over.